Good afternoon. The book of John tells us, "I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." We come here in sorrow, seeking comfort in these words. We come here in hope, wanting to believe these words. We come here trusting that Barbara now knows these words to be true. I invite you into this time of remembrance. This is a time to honor Barbara's rich life with our prayers, stories, and most importantly, your love. Let us pray together. Holy God, who brought us into the world, as we journey through life, we know you are always with us. Help us to worship today with gratefulness for Barbara's life and with grief at her passing. Prepare our hearts to hear your words as a comfort for those who mourn, through the light of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. O God, who gave us birth, you are ever more ready to hear than we are to pray. You know our needs before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Show us now your grace, that as we face the mystery of death, we may see the light of eternity. Speak to us once more your solemn message of life and of death. Help us to live as those who are prepared to die, and when our days here are ended, enable us to die as those who go forth to live, so that living or dying, our life may be in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to sing "You Raise Me Up." Cue music.
So more than I can be. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me
I can get through this. Barbara Chung, the perfect wife, the loving mother, the wise grandmother, the endearing great-grandmother, the little old lady with that sweet accent that you can't quite make out where it comes from. Is it British? Is it Jamaican? What exactly is it? That feisty, strong-willed woman who won't take crap from anyone. Some of you know that woman. Now, if you knew my grandmother in any capacity at all, any of these statements would be very accurate descriptions you could hear about her at any given time. My grandmother lived to be 91 years old. That in and of itself is a major accomplishment. And what has she witnessed in her lifetime? To put it into perspective, that's 15 U.S. presidents, the Great Depression, World War II, women's liberation, the civil rights movement, the internet, Facebook. While she didn't have a Facebook account and she didn't tweet, she was still one hip grandma throughout all her years with us. My grandmother was born in Yorkshire, England, in a little town called Harrogate. She was proud to tell me that in her younger years, she worked in a laundry press shop and had the highest paying job for women during her time. She met and married the love of her life in her 20s and moved to Jamaica. After spending many years in Jamaica raising my mom and my uncles, she moved to the U.S. and lived with my parents for quite a few years. It was during those years that I believe I formed many of my values, and particularly lessons in etiquette. Many of these lessons I still hold with me to this day and try to exemplify with my own children. Some of the lessons were as simple as elbows off the table, eat properly with your knife and fork, and, oh, the burnt part of the toast is the best part, didn't you know that? It makes your hair curl. Some of the values were as complicated as love sees no color, and treat others as you would want to be treated. One of my fondest childhood memories of my grandmother was how she would make breakfast for me every morning before school. She did some very English things like soft boiling an egg and putting it in one of those ceramic egg cup holders where you take a little spoon, you crack the top, and you eat it out, you eat the egg out of the shell. It made me feel like the Queen of England. She'd always look outside and tell me when the school bus was coming too, so I could run out just in time to make it. And I will also admit that I didn't start making my bed until I went off to college, because my grandmother would make my bed for me every morning too. But that was kind of the kind of person my grandmother was. She was always thinking of others. She was nurturing and kind. When my cousins and I started having children, my grandmother would knit sweaters, bonnets, and mittens for all of her great-grandchildren. She always sent Christmas cards and kept every Christmas gift she received. Even the cheesy ones I myself would have thrown out by now. I was even surprised to see that she kept a little stuffed animal I made for her back in the 7th grade. She attended all of my piano and dance recitals and school plays. She loved to go shopping at the mall with my mom and me. She would actually enjoy sitting and watching us peruse through aisles of clothing for hours on end, which is most people's worst nightmare, but that's because she had the patience of a saint. I loved playing with her hair and rubbing her skin. And I noticed when I had my children, they did the same with her. She had this presence about her that made you feel warmth and comfort. You just had to hug her all the time. She created in me a sense of family values and an appreciation for living the simple life. When I heard the news that my grandmother's health was declining rapidly, I rushed to Rochester because I wanted to ensure I'd be there for her in the same loving way she'd been there for me throughout my life. And I'm so glad to have had the opportunity to experience being there for my grandmother as a support system as she was for me. Thank God for FaceTime, because I was able to tell my grandmother face-to-face that I was coming to see her. And when I told her this, her response to me was, "That would be nice. I'd love to see you." This is how I knew she was going to leave us, because she normally would have said, "Oh, don't you worry about me, dear. I'll be fine." My grandmother's passing happened in an inexplicably peaceful way. In the last 3 days leading up to her death, and on her deathbed, she still managed to make us feel important and loved. By the end, she was unable to move pretty much 99.9% of her body. She could no longer fully open her eyes. She could only respond to yes or no questions because she was too weak to talk. However, she was fully aware of those of us who spoke to her, who was speaking, and what they were talking about. She was even able to communicate with us. And every time one of her children or grandchildren entered the room, Uncle Martin or Uncle Mikey or my cousins Marcia, Marie, or Ken, her face would light up. And even when in pain, she would tell us she wasn't. But in her final hour, she began to feel and verbally express the signs that she was leaving us soon. And as I held her hand, my last words to her were, "Grandma, do not worry. I'm here with you. Mom is here with you. Aunt Babs and Marie are here with you, and we're not leaving. We'll be here with you as long as you need us." And she responded with okay, and that was her last word. Minutes later, she left us to be with God. And I say all of this to tell you that my grandmother gave us, all of us in this room, a lesson in love. If you live on this earth a life filled with love, emanating love and giving love, you will leave this earth surrounded by love. I know that right now, even though my grandmother will no longer be physically with us, her spirit and her legacy will live on in all of us for generations to come. Rest in peace, my dear grandmother. We love you, and we miss you so much, and we can't wait to join you in heaven.
Thank you all very much for coming to help us celebrate the life of my mother, Barbara Chung, and to share in our grief at her passing. Most of you don't know this, but my mother and father adopted me from my father's sister. So technically, my parents were my biological aunt and uncle. My biological mom had 4 children, and her husband died when I was 9 months old. She was left to take care of 4 children and to manage a store. My mom visited her one day at the store and saw me in the crib crying with a wet diaper on, and no one was paying attention to me. She decided at that moment that she was going to adopt me. It was very interesting how I found out I was adopted. I was around 7 years old, and a few times I would visit my biological mother at the store, and she would proudly tell everyone that I was her daughter. So later, when I went home, I asked my mother, why was I being introduced to everyone by my aunt as her daughter? She then told the story of how she fell in love with me and wanted me to have a better life. Today, I'm very grateful that she did. My childhood was happy and filled with wonderful memories that I have passed on today to my children, and my daughter is passing on to her children. Some of these are being respectful, especially to your elders, no back talking, always speak the truth, importance of family, loving others and being compassionate, not mistreat others because of their skin color, be humble, and be honest. My mom always made sure when we were little, we had a good breakfast before we went off to school. At dinner time, we always had to wash our hands first, sit at the table properly, use the knife and fork correctly with elbows off the table. And if our eyes were bigger than our tummies and we asked for seconds, we had better eat it all. It was a lesson to teach us not to be greedy and not to waste food. My mom was a very hard worker, even though we had a helper who assisted with the everyday chores. She taught us that hard work does not hurt anyone. I remember at Christmas time, you know, she would change the shower curtains, she would change the bedspread, she would make sure that the windows were washed. I mean, Christmas time was a very special time for her, and this was indeed special. She would put up a Christmas tree with all the decorations and lights, and the last items that were added to the tree were cotton balls. Even though we were in hot, sunny Jamaica, this was to signify snow. My mom was very meticulous in everything she did, to the point where the sheets had to be tucked under a certain way on the bed, there could be no creases, and the bedspread and comforter had to be smooth. And even to this very day, you know, when she was in the nursing home, you know, she had to make sure that the sheets were, I mean, she was weak and could hardly get around, but, you know, she had to make sure those sheets were really well placed. There were times, I mean, my mom was so neat and tidy. I mean, she would see, you know, like shoe marks on the floor, and she would be down trying to take them off of the floor. I'm like, Mom, what are you doing? So that's the way she was. And my mom also loved to knit. When my mom heard I was pregnant with a girl, she knitted several outfits and sweaters and boots, booties and hats, and they were all so beautiful. My father died in 1982, and my mom came to live with me 2 years after his death. My daughter, Lisa, was 5 years old at the time, and she took care of her while Osman and I went to work. She helped with the laundry, the cooking, the dusting, you name it, she was there to assist us happily. In 1988, when we adopted Ryan, she now became responsible for taking care of two children. Osman and I were truly blessed to have my mom living with us. In 1994, my mom moved to Park Ridge Commons, which was an assisted living senior apartment complex. She was now independent with no more responsibilities, free to do whatever she wanted to do. Each week she would do her grocery shopping and she'd purchase the Star magazine, the Globe, and the Enquirer. These were magazines that all had those wild and wacky stories. But she'd tell us the reason why she really bought them were really for the crossword puzzles. At the apartment, there was a community room, and other times you'd see her putting together a 500-piece jigsaw puzzle. The last one I saw her doing, had the sky in the background. I mean, can you imagine trying to get all the pieces together to put that sky together? She was my companion when I had to go to the mall, and we would go there often, just to walk around and window shop. She had the patience of a saint. Many times, I'd ask her to knit a sweater outfit whenever I heard of a baby being born, and she did so willingly. In December 2014, while I was in St. Croix on vacation at Lisa's home, my mom became ill. I was blessed to have my friend Velta take care of her when I was away. It was she, while delivering food to my mom, noticed she was ill and called the ambulance. She was in the hospital for a few weeks, and the doctor realized she could not go back to her apartment and live on her own. When she was discharged, she went directly to St. Anne's Community, and she was there for 1 year. All the aides and nurses loved her. She never complained, did everything for herself, and was considerate of the staff, who she did not want to bother because she said they were busy taking care of the other residents. They all loved her and especially enjoyed talking with her, as her accent was mixed with the British and Jamaican dialect. One of the nurses said they loved to speak with her because if they asked her if she was okay, she'd always respond with, "Yes, my dear." My mom has left an indelible mark on me. She was a quiet person and kept mostly to herself. She was easygoing, never liked mingling with the people in her apartment or the nursing home. As she said, they gossiped too much and they always wanted to know your business. My mom taught me patience, to not worry about situations under which we have no control. Many times her back would hurt or she was not feeling well, and she would say, "Don't worry about me, it's just old age." She loved her husband with unconditional love and enjoyed telling us the story of how they met. Her eyes would light up, there would be a big smile on her face. And she always talked about how they met in the pub, you know, and he would look at her and say, and tell us about my father saying to her friend, "Edna, you got to introduce me to your friend." And then later on, as they got to know each other a little better, she said to her friend, "That is going to be the future Mrs. Chung if she'll have me." And she just loves to tell that story. They were married for 32 years and passed on to me what marriage was all about. Love, devotion, caring, riding the storms and celebrating the good times together. To summarize, here's a poem that I am dedicating to my mother. Mom, you have left behind a wonderful legacy. Patience, kindness, gentleness, and longevity. Your life you lived fully, and you always knew what was best. God has now taken you home where you will have eternal rest. You are now with your husband, who you love so much. You will forever remain in our hearts as our lives you have touched. Rest in peace, my dear mother.
To page 634 of the hymn book and join me in singing "To God Be the Glory."
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we
Our scripture today comes from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 7 and 23 to 29. Hear the words of Jesus Christ. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were so, where I have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus answered, Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything, and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You've heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. Friends, this is God's word for our heart today. We come here this day mourning the loss of Barbara, remembering all that she gave to the people she loved. We are also here to celebrate a life well lived, 91 years of love, laughter, and family. Barbara was a loving mother, wife, grandmother, great-grandmother, and friend. We gather here to begin to say goodbye together and to be reminded that she is now at peace. Barbara adored her family, cared for them throughout every time in her life. She was deeply in love with her husband and built a life in Jamaica with him. As a mother, she was always there for her children and raised them with pride. She helped raise her grandchildren and dedicated herself to them. Barbara's legacy comes to us in many ways. And one of the most important legacies is right here, sitting in front of us. No matter where she lived, Barbara always made her home, caring for her family. She was brave enough to focus on what truly mattered in life, her loved ones. She was always excited to share stories about her family, even as she got older. When I visited her at St. Anne's, she was so eager to show me the pictures that were plastered around her room, all of these posters of the family that she loved so much. If you take nothing else from your time with Barbara, remember that she saw life as precious and made the most out of what she was given. The end of her life got harder as her health worsened, but her family was always there to take care of her, just like she was always there for them. She was comfortable at the end. She went peacefully. No matter how long or full of love Barbara's life was, this day has to bring grief. At times like this, we turn to our loved ones and to God to help and comfort us in our sorrow. For Barbara's life, God was her comfort. She was secure in her belief, and we are certain now that Barbara is with God, at home and in peace. It is hard for us to rejoice as Barbara's family grieves for the loss of someone so special to them. But the bonds of family that she created will carry you through this grief. Barbara has left us, but she left behind in you all a wonderful legacy. She taught her family to care for each other and protect each other, just as she supported them. She believed and knew deep down that true happiness didn't come from money or fame, but in the love of family. Her humility and generosity of spirit is still with us and has changed the lives of her loved ones. Just as the lessons of love and respect that Barbara embodied are still with us, God's love is constant in our lives. In this time of grief, we can remember that God is always with us. God loves us, and God watches over us. As Paul says in his letter to the Romans, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord." Absolutely nothing will separate us from God's love. No matter what life is like for us at this time, we are living in God. And if every moment, no matter how great or small, is in God, then we are called to care enough about all the moments of life to live them well, just as Barbara did. Our faith and our trust is in our Savior, who will provide for us. We give thanks that Christ is our resurrection and our life, both now and forevermore. The Good Shepherd has called Barbara home into peace. This loving God is here with us today, calling us to show love to each other. Let us help each other through this time, knowing that God's presence is here to comfort and guide us. Over the past several days, I imagine you all have remembered many moments in your life with Barbara, good and bad moments, monumental and everyday. Surely she knew that in all of these moments, God was there. All of that time adds up to the life of a loving mother and grandmother, but it also adds up to so much more. Barbara's example shows us how to live with love, to have compassion and generosity in every day of our lives. She always cared for her family with strength and dedication, and now without her, we put our trust in God as we mourn. A few members of Barbara's family will now share memories of their time with her. Let us hear their brief words and remember with joy the light that Barbara has brought to our lives. Amen.
Hello. Barbara was more than our grandmother. She was a great role model. She was a great woman. One of the things about her that we enjoyed was the many storytelling. A good thing about having a grandma is not just the life lessons, but also the scoop you get on your parents. So she always said our Aunt Debbie and Uncle Mikey was lucky my dad wasn't born first, because if he was, they wouldn't have been born. He gave so much trouble, she didn't want to have any more kids after him. So we were constant, I guess, redemption for all the trouble he used to give. She would brag about having twin granddaughters and how a twin ran in the family and how she never expected it to come from my dad. So thank you, Daddy, for that redemption. One of the other things she used to do was watch Price is Right every morning, watch All My Children. She did like the Inquirers and the tabloids. It was better for her to see the drama than have it in her life. And that was one of the most important things she has taught us. She asked us to pass on her three philosophies in life at her 90th birthday, was to do good, try your best, and most importantly, not get into mischief. We never met such a wonderful and unique individual as our grandma. Next to her family, her favorite things were pictures, puzzles, knitting, bacon, and her pearls. She loved her pearls. She loved everyone and everything except for a bad hair day and water. She never liked plain water. She loved to dress up and look her best. She was proud of perming her hair herself. She used to say, "Me been perming my own hair since me 15 years old, you know." She always had matching nails and lipstick. And a favorite color of her was hot pink, too. I remember my first trip to the mall with her. I was 11 years old, just entering to womanhood, and she decided to take me bra shopping for my first bra. She always wanted the best for her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. She was always proud of us. She always bragged about us. Grandma's, one of her dying wish was to never forget her, to always remember her. We're very blessed and I think spoiled to have been given such a great role model. We'll cherish her in our memories and pass it on to our children. With that, I give you my dad, who has some tough shoes to fill.
Hello, my name is Martin, and as they may have mentioned, my nickname could have been Trouble. I want to thank you all for being here. to sharing these last moments with remembering my mom. She taught me many things. Love, compassion, learn how to appreciate the things you have, not envy what others who had more, and to be have compassion and be generous to others who didn't have what you had, or those who didn't have anything at all. She was an amazing woman, and I think she was a very wonderful cook. To have accomplished that, coming here from England as an Englishwoman, not knowing anything about the food or anything, and in a matter of years, I could remember, her meals were fabulous. And during my working years back home, I traveled all over the island. It's like if you lived in New York, you'd have traveled to every city and sampled every dish that you could sample, and nothing could compare to her cooking. And that is a great accomplishment, a great achievement. I used to sit when she was preparing the stuff to bake. And, of course, I always liked to lick the pot. There was nothing like whipped butter and sugar. Oh, yeah, I would love that. And once she mentioned something to me, which it had to be God who prompted her to do that. Do you know the vegetable called, in Jamaica we call it chocho. Up here you call it chayote. It's something that you might just have a slice of once in a blue moon. And when we were baking, or preparing the things to bake, she said, you know, you can use that and make apple pies. And she told me how to do it. 25 or more years, maybe almost 30 years afterwards, we received these two huge boxes of chochos. They don't last that long. We gave away some, but we still were left with this huge box of chochos. And, hey, I remembered what she said to do with them. And they go, hey, we're going to make apple pies. Everybody goes, oh, I don't want any. So, okay. You're all familiar with Kool-Aid? They had an apple-flavored one. You use that sugar, you know, you kind of steam it a little, and you make your pie fill in. And when everybody tasted it, they go, oh, apple pie, wow. Even the neighbors couldn't believe that this was chocho pie. Yeah, and we made good use of that big box of chochos. That taught me a lot, her baking and her cooking, that first of all, you should love what you're doing. And you know, if you love what you're doing, it's not work, right? And to strive and endeavor to do your best. And she always turned out these wonderful meals, which I will never forget. One life lesson I learned from her that I'll share with you. As you gather, my nickname was Trouble. And I think she used to tell me that I used to, from I could walk, I would hold on to the hem of her dress or skirt, and that was her tail. Everywhere she'd go, I would be her tail walking behind her. And if she left me, say, to go to the bathroom or do something, I would be yelling and screaming and crying. And for you to go through that for like 3 or 4 years, you would not want to have another one like me. And I would I can remember going to the supermarket. I would be the only one. Maybe my brother and sister go, oh, thank God, take him away, please. No, no more of him. A break for 3 or 4 hours. And, well, once in a blue moon, one of them might come along, but I would be the one who was always going to the supermarket. And I guess I did not pay much attention when, you know, you get your stuff, you go to the next set of goods, and you pick up your grocery, you continue down the aisle. I probably would be gazing or looking at the stuff. Oh, look at all the wonderful stuff that's here. Oh, this is where everything came from. And she'd probably be dragging and calling, hey, come on, come on, come on. And this is one of my earliest memories. One day I turned around and I couldn't recall her calling me. I go, oh, hey, something's wrong here. Mom, where's Mom? And I started my loud crying. I think everybody in that supermarket would have heard, and my mom certainly would have heard, but no Mom. So somebody, this was 50 years ago when you could do that. So somebody took me up to the manager's office, and they announced over the speaker, hey, little boy here's lost. Yeah, he's wearing this and that. Will the parent please come? 10 or 15 minutes, they'd announce again. She took her sweet time. And also on the Thursday, Friday evening, the lines were long. You know, back then you had the old machines, you put in the prices, bam, bam, the motorized. That's 50 years ago. It took maybe 15 or 20 minutes to check one person out, 3 or 4 or 5 cards. It took about an hour to check out. And I'm pretty sure the manager was, please, somebody please come and get this kid. Anyway, finally she showed up, and I can never forget what she said. It was, I bet you'll start paying attention now. There are some kids that do need to learn a hard lesson, and that way they won't turn out to be difficult adults later on in life. Mom, I love you, and I will always cherish those memories.
A message from your beloved.
Going home, I'm just going home. Quiet like some still day. I'm just going home. It's not far, yes, close by, through an open door. Work all done, care laid by, going to fear no mother's there, expecting me. Father's waiting too. Lots of folk gathered there, all the friends I knew. All the friends I knew. I'm going home. Nothing lost, all's gain. No more fret nor pain. No more stumbling on the way. Going to Rome.
Restless dream all done, shadows gone, break of day, real life yes begun. There's no break, ain't no end, just a living on. Wide awake with a smile, going on and on. Going home, going home. I'm just going home. It's not far, yes, close by, through an open door. I'm just going home. Going home.
Let us pray together. We know that God has given us life, that through Christ we have been given new life. We now commend Barbara Chung to God's merciful care, the faith of Jesus Christ. Acknowledge, O God, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a child of your own redeeming. Receive her into the arms of your mercy and the blessed rest of everlasting peace. Amen. As we leave this place, we know that there are still stories and memories to share and comfort to give. So the family asks that you would join them for a reception in the adult lounge right down the hall, that we can have time to spend together in grief and in love. As we leave this place, know that God's love will go with you, no matter where you are, every step of the way. May the peace of our Lord God, Jesus Christ the Savior, and the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.
That just goes back by my sound booth. This one's got to go down to the fellowship hall.